This is Healthy Living with the Laws. Top tips on how to optimize your health, from what you eat and drink to how you live and think, with your hosts, Ben and Sarah Law. Hello, and welcome back, everybody, to another podcast episode of Healthy Living with the Laws. Hello, Benjamin.
Hello.
How are you?
I always never know how to start these things.
No, it's always a bit
always
orcs. Totes orcs.
And then the whole thing is quite totes orcs.
Yeah, it is when you don't like talking. I mean,
yeah.
You like to just sit.
Anyway,
all right. You know, life's great. We're in our new house.
We are.
That's good. You might hear a little buzzing in the background because we're in the kitchen at the breakfast bar. And we've got a buzzy fridge.
Buzzy fridge.
So if you hear a buzz, it's not Benjamin just buzzing away in the corner, or a bee. It's the fridge.
We like the house, don't we?
We do like the house very much. We're back in Santa Eulalia area.
Santa Eulalia.
Depends where you're from as to what you call it. And life is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And it was absolute fate that we ended up in this place, wasn't it? Because the market in Ibiza right now is pretty shod.
Horrendous. Yeah, nothing available.
Overpriced crap.
Only kind of seasonal rentals for the summer.
Which are stupidly expensive.
Which are ridiculous. They jack the price up by double or more.
But the universe was on our side because these ones we're in now. Basically, we're going to give you our life story before we go into anything health related. But it's about law of attraction, so it could be health related in a way, kind of mindset. Anyway, so these were on Idealista, weren't they? Which is the equivalent of Rightmove in Spain, but they were only for sale. And we kept looking at them going, oh, I wonder if anyone will rent us one. So you messaged the estate agents, didn't you, and said, can we rent one? And everyone was like, computer says no. They weren't up for
it. Yeah, they just, no, they're for sale.
And we were like, we know that. And then our friends, Matt and Tiff, who also have a podcast, if you'd like to listen, called the M&T Podcast, give them a shout out, live on the road opposite us, pretty much, don't they? And we went round theirs one day, and then we were driving back to our other pad, our temporary pad, drove past, and we were like, oh, let's just stop and have a little sneaky peek through the fences to see what they're like. And there was a sign on the wall that said for sale and one that said for rent and a phone number. So we then messaged the phone number and it was the landlord, who only speaks Spanish, but he owns a lot in the block, and he showed us around a few, didn't he, in Spanish. Spoke to me like I could speak absolute fluent Spanish.
Cut a long story short.
Basically, that's how we ended up here.
Yeah, we saw three or four, didn't we? There's loads in the block. I think we started a trend.
We did start a trend.
Because then loads of people started looking at them and they went pretty quick. But we got in early. We were the first in.
And we got the best one.
We got the best one.
Which was occupied when we came to look around them, so we couldn't look at it. But he was like, oh, this one's the best one because it's got the best view. And we were like, right, we want to see it. And the first one we saw, we loved because the decor and everything was really nice. However, there was a small mold situation, wasn't there?
Which, your for favourite me, favourite mold.
It follows me round.
Yeah, there's a bit of leaky in the shower, I think, when they're in the corner.
Yeah.
That was a no-go. It was very nice as well.
It was really nice. It was very sad.
To be fair, this one was better, I think.
I called my doctor and said, do I really have to worry about mold that much? And he was like, yes. I was like, damn it.
This is better, really.
Yeah, it
got
is.
Two gardens. The only one with two gardens.
Yeah, which means
one garden can be my gym.
Yeah, it's now the CrossFit gym. So if anyone would love to come over to Ibiza and pay to come
no,
in our...
So why do you keep saying this? every time you go, can everybody come round?
Well,
no,
you can train
nobody
them.
Can come round. Nobody
everyone
come
thinks
round.
You're a PT, so you can just put them in the garden and train them. I mean, you'd all be the worst PT ever.
All the neighbours hate me already because making loads of noise, dropping weights. I've had to stop that really because it does shake the entire block.
Yeah, and you would be an awful PT. I've just come to the conclusion.
Why?
Because you'd just shout at people and get angry. You'd just be like, you're shit.
Got zero patience.
No patience whatsoever. So don't actually come round unless you want to be.
Don't come round anyway because I don't like.
He doesn't like people.
No, I don't. No, that's wrong.
He does like people. You're just slightly introvert.
Yeah, we just need a load of stuff, don't we? Because it's pretty bare at the moment.
We need to make it a home.
It's going to be a good base.
It is for the next few years.
We need a solid base instead of moving every 6 months, which we hate.
We've moved three times since we've lived in Ibiza in the last year. I'm done with moving.
No more moving.
No more moving. Anyway, that's a life update.
Ramble crap.
Ramble crap. for the beginning.
Let's get on with it.
So, yeah, today we wanted to talk to you about sleep. A super important topic that most people overlook. Would you agree with me?
Yeah, I think many people do, don't they? They don't realise the importance of it.
No.
You just think it's sleeping.
Why are you raising one eyebrow at me like that?
Don't know. Yeah, I don't think people get the importance of it, do they?
No, people say, I'll sleep when I'm
dead. I think there's more, definitely more people are aware now. It's like the last few years, there's been so much talk about it.
Yeah, there's books and things you can read now on sleep, which is awesome, because there didn't used to be.
Everyone's talking about a podcast and stuff, if you listen to that stuff. So yeah. We thought we'd chime in with our...
2 pennies worth.
2 cents, not that we know.
2 euros worth.
Not really know huge, like, the science-y details.
Yeah, we're not going to go into mass amounts of science-iness, but we're going to talk about the importance of sleep, the kind of just give you a little brief on the stages of sleep, and what can happen when you don't have enough sleep. And then
how
to get better sleep.
Well, what we think, what works for us.
And what we've learned.
What really doesn't work.
Yeah. The things that we normally do, basically. So, yeah, we're going to share that with you. So, sleep.
Okay, so what is sleep? I've always got to start with, ask with the most basic question.
What is sleep?
Sleep is not being awake.
That's true. It's when you shut your eyes and your brain, it doesn't switch off, actually. Your brain is super active at night. Like, I think people think when they go to sleep, their brain is just like mush and doing nothing. But your brain is so super active when you're sleeping. It takes a lot of energy when you're sleeping, your brain does. So when you think you're not actually... burning anything when you're sleeping, you're actually using a lot of energy because your brain needs it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's recovering, it's repairing,
telling your body to do things.
I think if you don't sleep for like 3 nights in a row, you pretty much die.
Yeah, like you can go for food without 3 weeks.
Food without. Food.
Oh my goodness, that's the thyroid brain. You can go without food for 3 weeks. You can go without. Water for 3 days. I can't remember what it is. Something like that. About how many days you can go without sleep and then without thinking. You can't go without thinking. You can't go without sleep, basically. Anyway, that was rubbish.
Great start.
Well done. So, sleep. Super important. Why is it important? Well, it repairs. It's when you repair, basically, your body regenerates. So all of your cells get kind of cleaned. Like your brain as well, isn't it? You've got something called a glymphatic system in your brain. And at night time is when that kind of drains, which is draining like your lymphatic system in your body, which helps drain excess toxins and things out of the body, the lymph system. The glymph system in the brain does the same kind of thing to the brain. So whilst you're sleeping, it's super active and it's basically helping drain toxins and shit out of your brain. How weird is that?
That is weird.
But clever.
Hmm. Very clever.
You're kind of confused by that.
I am.
So it does that. Every single cell in your body is being replenished and rejuvenated whilst you're sleeping. Your hormones are being regulated whilst you sleep.
Yep.
Your memory banks are like, it's a bit like having a filing cabinet in your brain, isn't it? And it's being like organized.
Yeah. And everybody knows you get a shit night's sleep, you feel terrible the next day.
But some people don't, because it's that adrenaline response that happens when you're not sleeping properly and you're not having enough sleep. Your body goes into this like massive adrenaline response. So you kick out loads of cortisol. So you feel actually quite perky, feel quite with it and wide awake, because it's the cortisol response.
But only briefly, right?
Well, you can go a few days feeling like that. And if you carry on sleeping like crap, then yeah, you'll hit a wall.
Yeah.
It will be like you'll tank. But yeah, that's where... sleep as well is very important for hormone regulation, because if you're not sleeping properly, then your cortisol will get jacked up. And when your cortisol gets jacked up,
why is it jacking your cortisol up? To give you more energy?
I think so, yeah. I don't know the full science of that, but I would imagine it is to do with energy. Yeah,
trying to generate energy because it doesn't have it.
And also, if you're not sleeping properly, that whole circadian rhythm is just off, isn't it? And your all of your hormones work in balance. So if your melatonin, which is your sleep hormone, is not right, then your cortisol, which is your kind of wake-up hormone, is going to be off too, which then will offset another hormone.
So what is melatonin?
Melatonin is the hormone that we produce which helps us sleep. It's our sleep hormone.
Yeah, and we naturally secrete it.
Yeah.
Supposed to, in the evening,
yes.
Before bed.
A lot of people do things that stop it from happening, don't they? like staring at screens, working late, drinking.
Yeah.
Yes.
But fundamentally, it's the sleep hormone, and you can actually supplement with melatonin.
You can.
If you're not producing it yourself, which is not great long term.
No, you don't want to do it long term. It's just it's great if you've had jet lag or something. Like, if we've been to America, we normally on the way back will low dose melatonin just to get that circadian rhythm back.
Yeah.
You can mega dose melatonin for other health things, but
it's quite.
It's a potent.
Potent for lots of things, isn't it? Yeah. They're discovering.
Yeah.
Isn't serotonin the precursor to melatonin? Is that correct?
I think so, yes. Is it serotonin?
Producing your gut.
Tryptophan.
Yeah. I would say, yeah.
Because they also say about eating turkey because it's high in tryptophan, which helps you sleep.
Yeah.
So is tryptophan a precursor to serotonin? And serotonin is a precursor to melatonin?
We'd
have to look that up because I'm not sure. But anyway, basically, all hormones are linked. So if one is going squiffy because, like, you're not sleeping properly and you're not producing the melatonin because you've got blue light in your eyes at nighttime, then that's going to make all your other hormones go squiffy. So your cortisol is going to go squiffy. Your leptin and your ghrelin get massively impacted when you don't sleep properly. So leptin and ghrelin are your hunger and satiety hormones. So leptin is your satiety hormone, isn't it? So it's the hormone that kicks in that says to you when you've eaten, I'm full, I've had enough. And ghrelin is the hunger hormone that kind of is what makes your tummy grumble. So when you don't sleep properly, they get massively out of whack. So I don't know if anyone else has ever experienced this. I know I certainly have. I remember when I lived in Germany as a superstar performer in Starlight Express. And we used to go out on a Sunday night and get in at like 9 o'clock in the morning, bad times. And I just can't sleep. Like, if I go to bed at that time, I'm not one of those people that will be able to lay in bed all day the next day and sleep, even though I had awesome blackout blinds, which we have in this house, which is very exciting. But I would then have like 2 hours sleep on the Monday morning at like 9 till 11. And then I'd be up and I would literally have a bottomless pit for a stomach. I would not be able to stop eating. It was like nothing filled the hole. Absolutely nothing would fill the hole. And it wasn't that I was even hungry, but it's like it just wouldn't register. So I don't know if you've ever had that where you've had a real lack of sleep. And sometimes I think we put it down to having drunk too much or something and being hungover. But actually, sometimes it's the lack of sleep more than anything that is then causing our leptin and ghrelin to be off. So our hunger hormones are higher. Our satiety hormones aren't there. So we can just eat and eat and eat and it just does not fill the hole. Not ideal.
No.
So that happens basically when you don't sleep properly. And that can then obviously set you up for overeating.
So let's talk about the stages of sleep.
Oh, okay. First, sorry.
For what can impact it. So what are they?
So you have light sleep, you've got REM sleep, you've got deep sleep. And then there are different phases of REM as well. You've got like 4 phases of REM, but we're not going to go into all of those.
Not that technical.
No, but we're just going to go through the main one. So you've got REM sleep.
Rapid eye movement sleep. I'm just going to read this from Aura.
Good old Aura.
It's associated with dreaming, memory consolidation, and creativity. REM sleep plays an important role in re-energizing your mind and body. REM sleep includes all your sleep, including naps. REM sleep makes anywhere between 5 to 50% of your total sleep time.
Interesting. So it basically is where you consolidate things, isn't it?
Yeah, it's memory consolidation.
So it's like the filing cabinet. When you're putting the files in the filing cabinet.
That's the dreamy part of the...
Yeah.
So when you're dreaming, that's kind of REM.
That's REM
rapid
sleep.
Eye movement. And you actually, your eyes
moving.
Your eyes move rapidly.
I'd love to watch someone sleep, actually. It'd be a bit weird.
Hence the name.
Do you want to tell anyone about my random sleep sometimes?
No.
When I have a lot of REM. I like to shout with my sleep.
Yeah, you're a bit of a sleep talker, shelter, wailer.
What was it I said?
Get out! There's been some classics. I try to record it every time, and every time I kind of miss it.
Well, I'm normally a crap remmer.
Get out! That was one of the best ones.
I remember that dream so vividly as well. I was literally trying to get someone out of my house. And you know when you're like in a dream and you're trying to run and you can't, or you're trying to talk and you can't, that's what was happening. And then eventually I could get the words out and I was just saying, get out!
So funny.
Yeah. But I'm notoriously a crap REMer, aren't I? I literally have like 5 minutes REM. Not ideal.
It's a hard one to
nail.
Try and nail. But
So that's the REM part
of
sleep.
It's regulated by circadian rhythm.
Yeah.
You typically get more REM during the latter half of the night, and that's definitely true for me, because we both have Oura rings which track our sleep.
And they are one of the most accurate trackers, aren't they? Like, I have a Garmin watch and I have the Oura ring, and I compared the sleep data from the Garmin watch to the Oura ring, and it was hilarious. Like, on the Garmin watch, it says I have like 4 hours REM and 4 hours deep, and I'm like,
no, rubbish.
But the Oura is very, very accurate.
It is the gold standard for sleep tracking, definitely, especially the new version.
Yeah, so the majority of your REM comes in the later hours, doesn't it? The later part of your sleep.
Yeah. So there is deep sleep.
Deep sleep. So deep sleep is the restorative sleep. That's when everything is being repaired, replenished. I think that might be when the glymphatic system is. I don't know, actually. I need to check whether that's when the glymphatic system is the most active.
Yeah.
But that is the restorative sleep. That is.
Yeah, it's really the restorative and rejuvenative sleep stage.
Yeah.
Makes up anywhere between 0 and 35% of your total sleep.
I'm quite a good deep sleeper.
So when you're in deep sleep, your blood pressure drops, heart and breathing rates are steady, arm and leg muscles are relaxed. It's harder for you to wake up. I'm reading this again from Oura.
I can tell, because you can't read very well.
During deep sleep, your muscles grow and repair. Immune system is refreshed and brain flushes out toxins.
That is, glymphatic system. There you go.
Yeah. And that's normally in the early stages of night. And that's 100% true for me.
Yeah.
Like, you normally just go straight into deep.
Yeah. So super important. If you're missing out on that, like...
I would say that's the most important.
Yeah, because it's like your immune system is not being replenished, your glymphatic system is not working as it should, you're not flushing toxins out of your brain, that's not ideal, you're not repairing, you're not restoring muscles, and that's what people always talk about, isn't it, with like muscle growth.
Yeah,
people think it's all about what you do in the gym, but a lot of times it's actually what you do out of the gym.
Yeah,
it's the restore and recovery phases, and so sleep is
just as important as what you do in the gym,
a huge part of that. So deep sleep is super important, and again, if you're just not getting enough sleep, it's very rare that you're going to be getting enough deep sleep if you just
And if I have under an hour of deep sleep, I can definitely feel it the next day. I don't feel as refreshed and as rejuvenated.
Rejuve. So with regards to that then, what are the mistakes that most people make when it goes to...
I'm just going to put it out there. We're not the
best
sleepers in the world, the best routine.
No, it's definitely something that we make as a New Year's revolution.
Revolution.
A New Year's resolution. It will be a revolution when we get it right. We have got better, but it's definitely a working progress, isn't it, for us? We've not nailed it yet. But we do know what we should do. It's just we don't often do it that well.
Yeah.
There are parts we've nailed, other parts slightly challenging.
So things that can negatively impact your sleep.
Blue light, massive
blue
one.
Blue light is a huge one.
So
that's from all your screens.
Yeah, any screens. If you're on a laptop, even light bulbs, TVs,
like
phones. Yeah. How many people scroll on their phone before bed?
Any artificial light, pretty much. Unless you have blue light blocking filters on every device, which most people don't. I have one on my laptop, because I'm on a laptop all day, called Iris. And there's Flux as well, Flux.
Yeah, I've got Flux online.
I can definitely notice the difference with that.
But still, even if you do have that on and you're on your laptop late at night doing work and things, it's so stimulative to your brain that your brain isn't having that opportunity to slow down and calm down before you go to bed to get into that state.
Yeah, even when I've got the blue light blocking filter on my phone and a laptop, and I have blue light blocking glasses, we both do. I've got blue blocks.
What are mine? Mine are Schwannick. Something like that.
Schwannick. I think, yeah. Mine are blue blocks, which are really, really dark.
You look a dude as well.
Yeah. Orange. You've seen the orange glasses. That's what they are.
But we look even better because we've both got glasses. So we have to put our blue light blocking glasses over our glasses.
It's like a double glasses thing.
People saw us in bed, they'd think we were...
You can actually get prescription ones, which you probably get.
Yeah. Probably be the best option, but we have
instead of looking like douchebags. So even when I've got those on, if I'm on my phone late at night, I can still feel my brain as being stimulated, because I know I'll switch to just like reading a Kindle, which is completely no blue light at all, and I can feel more relaxed.
Yeah, totally. Immediately. I can feel my heart rate and everything is different.
And how many people, you know, go to bed
with their phone and scroll
On their phone. I'm guilty of it still.
Yeah, I have to leave my phone out of the bedroom.
Yeah, you leave it out now completely.
Yeah, I leave it downstairs because I just know if I don't, I can't stop myself. I'm like, I'm just going to look at one thing or something comes into my brain that I want to Google.
God damn social media.
Well, it's not just that. I Google things. I'm like, ooh, so do I. What if that happened or what is that? And then I'll Google something and before I know it, I've...
A lot of the time, that's the only time I do get to look at that stuff.
So whereas I spend a lot of time on it, so I'm not the same.
But yeah, I guarantee... You know, a lot of people will do that.
Yes, then it is their nighttime. People think it's their nighttime chill out time. I'm just going to switch my brain off. I'm just going to have a little scroll because it's mindless. But actually, it's just stimulating.
Yeah,
it's stimulating your brain. It's the blue light. All of that is just not serving you. So
at a bare minimum, I would get blue light blocking glasses. Definitely worth.
Bare minimum, but I would say get an old fashioned alarm clock and leave your phone downstairs.
Yeah, but it's TV as well, isn't it? People watch TV late. Definitely watch your TV with the blue bright blockers on.
Yeah, always. Like from 8 o'clock.
I know
on
it turns everything orange, but deal with it.
Deal with it. Yeah. From 8 o'clock onwards, we have blue light blockers on, don't we? Most of the time.
Yeah, and I can definitely feel a difference. It makes me more sleepy.
If I have a call, I often have Zoom calls in the evening, and if I don't have my blue light blockers on and I'll sit there with my ring light on, I'm literally like, yeah, it's not good. It's not a good sitch.
So blue light blockers is one.
Blue light blockers, a dark room as well. So again, do you have in your bedroom like an alarm clock which has got, you know, light coming from it, which a lot of people do? I cannot sleep now because I'm so used to having a really dark room. If I go and stay in a hotel and there's a little light somewhere in the room, I cannot. Yeah. I can feel it. Like I can absolutely.
And it's, yeah, people don't realise that as well.
Yeah.
Like any
light on
any
your skin.
Any little bit of light on your skin because we're, you know, we're designed
receptive.
We're receptive to light, and that's how you're supposed to wake up, with the light hitting your body.
Yeah.
So when you go to bed, you don't need any light at all on you.
Which is why we were ecstatic when we moved in here, because we've got the proper blinds, blackout blinds. It's awesome.
They love it in Spain, don't they?
They love
and we
a
love it.
Blind.
We love that they love it, because we love it.
we love, they love, everyone loves.
Yeah, it's just the standard thing. We didn't have it in the first one. Which is upsetting. But here, the blackout blinds are just
that's
incredible.
A whole other
I mean,
level.
They have the little, tiny little gaps in them, don't they?
Yeah. But we also wear eye masks. Like proper
we look
eye
like
masks.
Complete dicks.
We do, yeah.
But we have like, so that's another, the blue light, cutting out natural light. You can get, if you don't have the rolly ones, you can buy
stick-on ones.
I know they're a bit shit, but.
Get a dustbin bag and just.
We had a blunt in the UK, we had a blackout.
Roller blind.
Yeah. It was okay.
The temperature of your room as well.
Hang on.
Oh, sorry.
Then the eye masks.
Yeah.
There's been recent studies. I'm not going to quote them because I don't know.
But you can remember some of it.
That they do improve sleep. Even if you've got all the blackout stuff.
Yeah.
Just having an eye mask. And
it's
fine.
Like a comfort thing now.
It's weird.
I can't sleep without it.
It's a weird comfort thing that makes you sleepy. I mean,
doesn't make my head bloody hot though. I wake up sweating. I'm like,
yeah, that's the only downside. If it's hot, it
and
makes
you need to get a good one. What's the one we've got? Because that is a good one. It's like silk, and it's not like it's not like the elasticy bandy round your head. It's.
I'll have to put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put some links in the show notes to Aura to the.
The one that goes right over your ears. And basically wraps all completely
around.
It's
like a silk wrap around.
Because I've had really bad ones that
me too.
dig into your eyes.
What was that other one that you got that was like goggles?
Horrendous.
That was really bad. I mean, it was supposed to be awesome, and
I was suckered in by another Instagram advert as I normally am.
It was like puffy goggles.
Yeah, and then you lie on your side, and it just pokes it into your face. It's like, this is not fun.
Well, my problem is as well my big nose. So it's like every time I wear an eye mask, my big nose gets in the way, and I just get light coming out of the bottom. So
yeah.
But the silk one doesn't.
Silk one,
yeah.
Yeah,
it does the job.
It does affect my ear a little bit.
Does it?
Because
it's got a perforated ear, John.
So, darkness. They do make your head hot.
They do make your head really hot, which leads on to temperature of your bedroom.
Temperature of your room. Your bedroom is huge.
Huge. I know everyone loves to be cozy when they get in bed, but.
There's a certain temperature, you know, where we sleep ideally. Like, it has to be cool, basically.
Yeah.
And I love a cool bedroom, as cool as possible. Not too overly cool can affect it the other way.
Yeah, because then you just can't sleep because you're freezing. But it's got a, yeah, not hot. Not too hot. And then,
like in our UK house was horrendous.
Oh, it was awful.
For some reason, it was, I think, just because like the boiler was the room next door. We didn't sleep very well there at all.
No. Ever. That's probably why I had bad REM all the time, literally like 10 minutes, because
yeah,
it was so hot.
Temperatures plays a big role, and here again, we have aircon in every room, which yeah. I love. It's my favourite thing.
It is your favourite worst thing. I hate it. But for sleep, I do like a cold bedroom.
But then there's the Ula, which we've...
Oh yeah, the Ula.
The Ula, which we've got in the UK, which we haven't got over.
So explain what an Ula is to everyone, because they hear all these words like Aura and Ula.
There's
and
so many
Shmula and everyone's devices. Like, what are they?
It's a basically thing that you put over your mattress that sends... It's like little tubes in it. It sends cool water around your mattress. It's quite cool.
And you can do different...
Let's use the pun. And it's temperature controlled per side of the bed, so...
One person's more of a cold being than the other, like us.
Yeah. But we didn't find it amazing, let's be honest, did we?
Well, I don't know whether it was just that room was so hot.
Because it was so hot, you couldn't compete.
It was like nothing worked. It was just like sleeping in an oven.
Yeah, but I haven't experienced it, but there's apparently the latest one, the eight sleep.
The eight sleep.
Is supposed to be the one.
Right.
Supposed to be.
Everyone make a note of the eight sleep.
And that actually adjusts the temperature throughout the night based on your body temperature.
Ooh.
Very clever.
I quite like the sound of that.
Yeah, you noticed how when you go to bed, you're really hot.
Yeah.
And then...
You get colder. And then I wake up hot, and then...
You get colder throughout the night. Your body temperature changes throughout the night.
Yeah.
Do you need the mattress to change?
With that. That's very, very clever.
Very clever. But these... Yeah.
Do you have... I can tell my body temperature changes massively during the night.
Yeah.
So there's cortisol and thyroid, though, but it's like sometimes I'll be freezing, and then all of a sudden I'm like sweating like a pig.
Yeah. These are obviously... quite spendy things.
Yeah.
But if you've got the cash. Or otherwise just open your bloody window.
Yeah.
Or get a fan.
Yeah, but then it's the noise of a fan I quite like the noise of a fan. It's a bit like white noise.
Noise, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's another thing that can help you sleep.
Yeah, white noise.
What is white noise?
I don't really know.
It's just a hummy, gentle noise.
Yeah. Just humming. Someone humming in your bedroom. But white noise can make a difference. White blankets, weighted blankets as well.
Yeah, we've not done that. Yeah,
I've heard good things about weighted blankets. They're to do with like how they help with cortisol. I think maybe I need that. Yeah, they can help with like your body feeling secure and safe.
Yeah,
so, yeah, but it is weird, isn't it? Because like even with if it's hot, I can't sleep without a cover over me. Like,
yeah,
you're like weird.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't feel right. Like,
I
can't
feel
sleep.
Secure.
No.
It's a security thing, I guess.
So that must be what a weighted blanket will help with that as well. It's like it keeps you, obviously it weighs you down.
Yeah.
So it can help with that feeling of security, which I think will have an impact on your cortisol.
Then it's like the heat thing as well then, isn't it? Because so often duvets make you too hot.
Yeah.
To get the right kind of duvet for the summer, like you can get the thin ones, can't you?
You can.
I don't know if the weighted ones have different heated...
I don't know. Some research to be done there on weighted blankets.
So then there's timing, which we're shocking at.
Yeah, timing is the one for us that we've not nailed. Especially living in Spain. It's got worse rather than better.
Yeah, going to bed...
Too late.
Too late can have an impact, can't it? Because I'm going to balls this up. But like for every hour of sleep... You get before midnight is worth like... Two hours after or something. Yeah. This is where we're not good at.
Yeah, we get half an hour before midnight.
We get to bed way too late.
Too late.
I mean, it does vary individually as well.
Yeah, it depends what kind of chron type you are, doesn't it? As to like when your peak is, but it's still too late.
Yeah, my sleep data is definitely worse the later I go to bed.
Yeah.
So trying to...
yet nailed changing that routine.
Trying to get to bed...
Earlier.
A decent time, like, 10.
Yeah, that
would
be... 9,
10 would be amazing.
Our goal is always, right, if we can have lights out by 10:30, but we just can't seem to do it yet.
No, we're not good at it. We work too late and...
Yeah, that's the problem. We get into a bit of a flow for, like, 8 o'clock and then we're like, oh, we've got to have dinner now.
So that's,
Which then leads on to... eating too late as well. So that, eating a heavy meal too late.
So that leads on to the next point, I guess, like
blood sugar.
Your evening routine and winding down for bed, like eating too close to bed.
Yeah.
As a big one, which we're guilty of again.
Yeah, we are.
Because
we're Spanish.
Because that can actually spike your blood glucose, can't it? After you've been to sleep.
Yeah. And it's that balance as well, though, because if you don't eat, if you go to bed hungry,
the same can happen.
The same thing can happen. Your blood sugar will drop and your cortisol will spike whilst you're asleep, which will wake you up. So I've definitely noticed that when I've been competing sometimes.
Yeah.
I've had, like, if I've been on less calories and then gone to bed a bit hungry, and then I've been like wired in the middle of the night, it's like I'm awake and just not able to sleep properly at all. So it definitely makes a big impact.
We spoke about this before when I was doing
CrossFit.
And not eating enough, or obviously not eating any carbs.
Mm. Yeah.
Get to sleep, okay, then just be awake from like 2 till 5.
Yeah.
Because I just get a massive spike of cortisol.
Yeah.
Blood sugar got way too low.
Yeah.
So they introduced carbs and it got a lot better.
Yeah. So it is actually shown that having some carbs in your evening meal can really help with sleep. Some good carbs at night. You just want to balance it with your proteins and your fats, but having some carbs in the evening meal can help with sleep if you're not sleeping well.
Too hungry when you get
Don't be hungry, but don't be full. It's really helpful. You want to have a couple of hours basically between your last meal and going to bed.
At least 90 minutes to 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, I know some people I follow do it like 4 hours. They'll have their last meal at like 4 p.m. Yeah.
I mean,
that's a bit early for me.
That's like lunch.
Seems like I'd be hungry again before I went to bed, but.
Yeah.
But
I sometimes have my lunch at 4, so it's.
A couple of hours at least. Which we rubbish at.
Yeah, we especially here again. It's like we get into a bit of a workflow. Then we eat dinner at like
Spanish
9.
Spanish eat very late,
and then that's why we end up going to bed at late. It's just we've just got to shift the routine, basically.
Caffeine late.
Yeah.
In the day as well. I mean, some people can.
You're better at it than
if you're a fast caffeine metabolizer. You can have it later in the day, definitely, and you get it out of your system quicker. But generally, like any caffeine, like after 2 p.m. maybe.
Yeah.
It's probably not a good idea.
No. And a lot of people, if you think, will go to the gym in the evening and they'll take a pre-workout that's like proper stimulative, loads of caffeine and crap in there. And it's that combination of the exercise and the caffeine and all the stimulants in the pre-workout not really setting you up for the best night's sleep.
No.
You may think you've had a good night's sleep because you're knackered when you get in bed.
So I think it had a half-life of 8 hours or something.
Yeah.
And caffeine is a stimulant,
So
it can definitely prevent you getting.
So you can find out whether you are a fast metabolizer or a slow metabolizer. Slow metabolizer by having DNA testing, can't you? So that's what we did. We both did DNA testing, and it shows you whether you're a fast or slow metabolizer of caffeine, which is shows how quickly you get it out of your system. So you're a quick metabolizer, aren't you?
Yeah,
I'm slow, which I knew anyway. But
because I can have caffeine later in the day.
And you're okay. Unless you overdo it, which you sometimes do.
Yeah.
Because you not just coffee though, is it? That you have all these wonder teas like
yerba mate and pu'er and just a English breakfast.
a tea. Whammy of all of them.
I do have quite a bit of caffeine.
You do have a lot of caffeine. But DNA testing can be really interesting. We'll put a link actually in here as well for DNA Pal, who do DNA testing. And it's super interesting when you get the reports, isn't it? Like just to look through and your genes aren't your destiny. Oh my God, I can't speak.
Destiny.
Aren't your destiny, but it's very helpful because it helps you know how to modulate your lifestyle so that your genes don't become your destiny. So if you know you've got a genetic weakness in some way, then you can prepare for that by making sure that you're getting the right form of B12 or that you're looking after your adrenals because you're not very good at breaking down stress hormones or whatever it is. It just helps you know how to plan your lifestyle and your diet to fit your genes so that they don't become the issue.
Be super helpful.
Yeah. So we'll put a link in the show notes. We all say that and then I forget to put the links in the show notes.
Yeah, I know.
Need to write down what we need to put. Oh, I've got activated charcoal everywhere.
Brilliant.
Just been playing with the capsule. That's not ideal.
Training too late.
Yeah.
So exercising too late.
Yeah.
In the day, spike cortisol.
Yeah. If it's hormones. Intense exercise, walking wonderful, but anything too intense is just going to spike cortisol.
Yeah.
And that spiking cortisol is not going to help.
I've definitely been guilty of that.
A lot of people are, because it's the only time they get to go and work out, isn't it?
Yeah. If you can train a bit earlier.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
An obvious one, or maybe not obvious, booze.
Yes. You are very good at looking at your data from when you drink and when you don't. And it's shocking, the difference. Oh,
it's completely destroys sleep.
It's funny though, again, it's one of those things you think you sleep really well when you've had a good, like, good night out and a booze. You think you have a really solid sleep. You're like, wow, I slept for 10 hours. But the sleep quality, it's not the quantity, it's the quality.
It's horrendous.
Quality is shite.
Yeah. It's
not proper sleep.
No.
It's coma. It's comatosed.
Yeah. And that's why you do feel
crap
the next day. Yeah. Mainly because you've had this horrendous night's sleep.
Yeah, so obviously you've just flooded your body with toxins, but also it's the lack of sleep.
Deep sleep, tanks your REM.
Spikes your cortisol.
Elevates your heart rate.
Makes your blood sugar all over the shop.
Your heart rate is through the roof.
Yeah.
All night. Decreases your HRV massively.
Yeah. can you explain what HRV is?
Probably not very well. Heart rate variability is the variance in the
beats
and a higher... It's not always higher the better, is it?
No, that's what people think, the higher the better. But sometimes that can show that your body's in a massive stress state when it's super high, like mine has been.
Again, it's high. It's one of these things that's become very popular recently, but it's...
Understanding
it is very, it's very complex.
Yeah.
Because I have...
Yours is so low.
Really low HRV all the time. And I don't think I'm highly stressed all the time.
No, you're quite a chill pill, aren't you? And I'm the opposite. I have super high HRV, like ridiculously high HRV.
But it's more about your personal...
It's an individual.
Trend. They call it
but
HRV
that,
balance.
Yeah, even aura. That is not necessarily... Because I can't explain this very well, but the practitioner I'm working with, Marek, was saying about what can happen is when your body's in a state of stress, it can put extra beats in. So it looks like your HRV is really high, but actually it's not. It's just that it's putting extra beats in somehow. I don't really understand that. But that, so yeah, it's not, it's hard to determine.
Yeah,
but that app that we downloaded, there's an app called Weltery. And that was really interesting because when you did your HRV on it, you could do it basically with your phone camera.
Why camera don't you phone. Just, yeah, that's fine.
Camera phone. Phone camera.
What the hell are you talking about?
With your phone
camera. I'm sorry, people.
With your phone's camera. With your camera phone.
With you can say
either way.
Okay. Okay, let's just move on. It's embarrassing.
Anyway, so you use your camera on your phone.
Phone's camera.
Yeah.
Camera
to
phone.
Measure your HRV. But what it does with that HRV is it was a really interesting breakdown of it because it showed like which parts of... Because there's different like parts of the HRV as well. So it's showing like whether your body was just in a stressed state. It was really interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah. There's a lot to it.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it than just HRV.
But.
Anyway. Digress.
All I know is when I've been drinking, it goes down massively.
Yeah.
So for me, it's easy to see.
Like, yeah. Heart rate goes up. HRV goes down. Sleep quality goes down.
It's not good, really.
It's just not good for your sleep, basically.
When you start tracking all this stuff, you realise, don't you?
Yeah,
so the aura is good and bad. It's like,
holy
shit.
Yeah.
This is not good for you.
Yeah. Which is good in a way, because it makes you realise.
It makes you realise what's going on.
But sometimes you're like, I don't want to know. Restfulness is another thing that gets tracked on the aura, isn't it? And mine is always awful. I must roll around a lot in bed.
Moving around, in bed, but how do you improve that?
Pin me down. Maybe that's why I need a weighted blanket.
I don't know if that's...
Don't know.
What it really represents, is that good or bad? Who knows?
Anything?
Like weeing in the night. So...
Too much water before
too
bed.
Much drinking liquids is quite an obvious one. But like, if you're getting up... But that, again, that's complex as well, isn't it?
Yeah, because it can be to do with your cortisol as well.
Because I'm
You're a weir.
I'm notoriously.
I have to wee every night as well.
So minimum once a night. Like, very rarely I go a full night without going to the
loo. Yeah, me neither. I always go once.
It does happen, but it's like once every 2 or 3 months at least.
Yeah.
So, but you can mitigate it slightly by not drinking, obviously, loads.
Yeah, before you go to bed. Which again, I often, don't know why, I just suddenly get thirsty at night. So I end up drinking loads of water and then it's not ideal. But also, like we said, that can be a massive sign of a stressed system. When you are getting up to pee a lot in the night, it shows that your body is in a state of stress because it can't hold on to the fluids properly. It's to do with the potassium and sodium balance, which is controlled by your adrenal glands.
Yeah.
So if you're getting up to pee a lot in the night, it's a lot to do with that going on, which shows a stressed system.
It's a whole other podcast.
Yeah,
there,
I'm stressed. Stressed system. So yeah, it's looking at that and going, am I peeing too often? Is it to do with water? If not, okay, there's a sign that my body is stressed.
So that leads us on to stress.
Yeah.
Which is obviously a very complex one to tackle. Obviously,
yeah.
If you're stressed, highly stressed, you're not going to generally be sleeping well.
No, you've got to work on stress reduction throughout the day, blood sugar balance, blood sugar regulation throughout the day, because what you do in the day impacts what you, how you
This is it. It sets you up for that, like, yeah. Even very first thing in the morning.
Yeah, if you get on a blood sugar roller coaster,
yeah,
then your sleep isn't going to be great because you've set the tone for the day, basically, by shooting your blood sugar up and down.
Like breath work and meditation is a great way to reduce your stress, especially just before bed, like doing some deep breathing.
Some amazing apps. What's the one that you've got?
Othership.
Othership's really good.
It's really good, isn't it?
It's funky music.
You have to pay for it, but I think it's worth it.
It's definitely worth it. There's so many different ones, and they've got funky music and a cool dude who says, ready and breathing, let's dance together. Yeah,
they do have some sleepy ones to help you. It's like some deep breathing exercises.
Yeah.
To like calm the nervous system before you go to bed, which is a massive one, especially if you're stressed.
And sometimes you don't even know you're stressed and you are
stressed.
Exactly,
yeah.
Like, it's hard to know. Like, you might not feel stressed, but your body is actually stressed without you knowing it because you're just used to your body feeling that way. So it's like what your autonomic nervous system is doing and trying to regulate that and get it into a state of calm, safety.
Yeah.
Is all those things, breath work, meditation, all make a big difference.
Just general movement throughout the day. I definitely know if I've just been on the laptop too much, sitting too much, staring at a screen all day.
Makes me feel rough.
Yeah. So taking regular breaks, trying to get some walks in throughout the day.
It's great to just do after meals, 10-minute walks. Every meal you have, do a 10-minute walk.
That's a Stan Efferding thing.
Yeah, we love a bit of Stan Efferding.
It helps lower your blood sugar after the meal. Getting in the light.
Yeah.
As soon as you wake up, like
light
any
in your
kind
eyes.
Of light. So we have a red light, another device, but we have a red light from Red Light Rising.
Put them in the show notes too. It's going to be a lot in the show notes today.
So you get that red light. That's kind of the opposite to blue light, what we talked about earlier. But that's good earlier in the day, especially
in
the morning.
It's also good before bed though as well, having red light at night.
I don't know what, how, why is that?
I don't know. It must offset the blue light in some way.
Yeah. So we, in the morning, we'll sit in front of the red light, getting much skin as possible exposed. Get it in your eyeballs.
That's the challenge though, isn't it? Because we wear contact lenses.
But that's what, obviously I don't wear contact lenses as soon as I wake up. So I take my glasses off.
Yeah.
I don't know if you do this.
I do.
Stare straight at the light.
I don't stare at it, I shut my eyes. So, because I meditate in front of it.
Yeah, but before that, I just stare at it. My eyes.
How long for?
Well, I'll do that when I'm sometime doing the breath work.
Oh, good thinking. Never thought that. I just keep my eyes shut and hope it goes through my skin.
You don't have a red light device because they're very expensive as well.
But they are worth it. They are amazing.
Just literally getting outside first thing, because that helps set the circadian rhythm, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Getting that light on your skin before midday. So going out for a morning walk.
Yeah.
Just sitting outside in the morning.
Absolutely.
Doesn't have to be sunny.
No, because you're still getting the light. It's light, isn't it? It's not about sun exposure. It's about light exposure. Also EMFs, that's one we didn't mention, about bedrooms, sleep, switching off if you can.
Electromagnetic fields.
Yes, switching off wireless routers and
So all electrical devices, don't they, give off EMFs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're turning off your Wi-Fi, which I guarantee 99% of people don't do.
No.
At night, it's going to have a big impact.
Yeah.
Because you don't need it on at night, obviously.
No.
You're asleep.
Hopefully.
Yeah, so turning that off at night, putting your phone in flight mode. You can get remote control plug sockets.
I know, that's quite cool. We need those.
So you
problem
could,
with the way we live now, we live in a duplex, yeah. So it's like the people above us aren't going to be turning
Wi-Fi
their Wi-Fi
all
off.
Around us. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You can't knock on the wall and say, turn your Wi-Fi off, please.
We're going to bed now. Turn it off. Yeah, slightly challenging.
That can be tricky. Apparently moving your bed
away
from
the wall
yeah. is another one to... I think that's an EMF thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. You can also get Faraday bedding and nets and things, which basically block
EMFs. You get Faraday pants, apparently.
You can get Faraday clothing. Hats, clothes. I need a thyroid shield.
I mean, in terms of ranking it in terms of things that impact your sleep, it's probably one of the lowest.
It probably is, but health-wise, it might be one of the highest. Who knows? Who knows the long-term impact of EMFs?
There's a lot of studies coming out now, aren't there?
Yeah.
And the dangers of EMFs, it's everywhere.
Well, this is the problem. It's the dose, isn't it? It's like we're exposed 24/7. All the time, everywhere. So, yeah. So, quick rundown of what people can do before bed then to sleep. Oh, this is one quick one as well.
Go on.
That I was just going to say, with like if you have a lot in your head, which sometimes I do before bed... You know, when you're just, like, if you've had a busy day or you've got loads of things you need to do the next day, and if it's all in your head,
yeah.
it's like you just keep thinking about it. So just have a notepad and pen by your bed. Before you go to bed, just brain dump it all out.
Yeah,
like, literally
journaling.
Just write it all out, journal it, or schedule it into your diary. Like, if there's things you know you need to get done, write them down. Because I think what keeps you awake is going, oh, I must remember to do that. I must remember to do that. So if you get it out of your head and into a calendar or just brain dump, then it's not in your head anymore.
Yeah. I need to do that because I'm guilty of that.
Yeah.
Because I'm, like I said, I wake up most nights to need a pee. And then when I go back to bed,
just think.
My brain is racing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I can't stop it sometimes.
You're just so smart and so active.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's could be helpful.
Yeah.
Then genetically, some people like do sleep less anyway. Because there's a general rule, isn't there, between 6 and 8 hours a night is ideal. Anything even more than that is detrimental. Actually sleeping too much can be detrimental.
Depends on your lifestyle as well though, or like and what's going on in your body, like if you've got chronic fatigue or something.
Yeah, generally sleeping under that is seen as bad. But I think that's highly individual as well, because like some nights I sleep 5 hours and get loads of deep and REM.
Well, it's the quality again,
yeah,
isn't
exactly
it?
It's the quality. It's so important, and then I can feel amazing
yeah.
the next day on 5 hours
yeah.
sleep. Or I can sleep, well, it's never really happened, but for like 9 hours, and if the sleep quality's shit
yeah,
and you feel like shit, so that like, don't be fixated on the duration. I think it's the quality.
Yes.
It's all about that quality.
Quality and quantity. So a quick rundown of what people can do then at night time.
Or in the day in general.
Okay,
start
quick.
From the top.
From the top then. So morning.
Light exposure.
Morning light exposure. That was it.
Red light, yeah.
Red light.
You can do breath work and meditation.
I always think like just spending, even if it's just 10 minutes in the morning, working on you first, regulating your nervous system, meditation, visualization, gratitude, things like that in the morning. If anyone would like to join, by the way, if they want to do this, we've got a free Be Well Club, which is all about that, like taking 30 minutes in the morning for yourself to work on your mindset. So it involves gratitude, meditation, affirmations, raising your energy, reading something inspiring, stuff like that. But it's free to join. So if anyone wants to, you can pop me a message
plug.
On the soch.
Plug, plug.
That's free. And yeah, there'll be a success coach leading you through those things over 30 minutes in the morning. But yeah, a morning routine, just where you take time for you before you stare at your phone.
Yeah, just getting in the light is the most important thing.
Regulating your blood sugar. So making sure that you eat a good quality meal that is going to support your blood sugar, not spike it and drop it.
Yeah. Movement throughout the day, general movement.
Movement throughout the
day.
Keep
moving. Take breaks if you're on the laptop all day. Blue light blockers.
Blue light blockers.
On your devices and on your face.
On your face. Sleep mask.
No late caffeine, like after 2 p.m. is a general rule. Or some people say midday.
Eat some carbs at night.
Yeah, good don't carbs. Eat too close to bed, at least 2 hours before bed.
Good carbs as well, by the way, Pete's not.
Don't be too hungry.
Shoddy carbs.
As well.
Don't be too hungry.
If you go to, even if you're close to bedtime and you're hungry, it'd be worth having some light carbohydrate snack.
Yeah. Totes.
I thought of another point then.
What was the other point?
Mouth taping.
Oh, the mouth taping. This is an important one.
Yeah. So.
Also, jaw position. Snoring.
Snoring. Haven't covered that. Blimey. Yeah. How long is this going on for?
I almost think it's going to be 20 minutes then. We're here for like.
So most people. Well, a lot of people mouth breathe while they're asleep, which can cause snoring, and snoring can be very detrimental to sleep.
But also, even if you don't snore, and you mouth breathe, it's just not...
It's not ideal.
It's not good for you.
No. And can impact your sleep. So people are, believe it or not, taping their mouth.
Yeah.
It's a thing. Taping their mouth at night. So literally...
Forcing you to breathe through your nose.
Forcing you to breathe... through your nose.
It's like it is like a muscle that you need to train in a way, isn't it? Really, it's like just forcing your body to do the right thing because it's lost the ability to do the right thing.
Yeah. So I personally have a mouth guard thing.
Yeah.
I just got from Amazon. It's like a rubber thing.
Like a rugby player's mouth.
Yeah, you put it in hot water and you can actually mould it to your jaw. It's actually an anti-snoring thing. Put a link in the show notes, which you probably won't do. But it's supposed to bring your jaw...
It definitely works, because when you don't wear it, you snore.
You bring your jaw forward. You're supposed to bite with your jaw forward a bit. I did it. I have done it where I put the jaw... done too it too far forward and had a massive pain in my jaw in the morning.
Yeah.
So even... Because you normally bite with your bottom teeth behind your front teeth.
Yeah.
So even if it brings it forward so they're in line, it opens up your airways.
Yeah.
And stops you snoring. Well, I think it stops you snoring.
It definitely does work, because when you've not worn it, you've snored. And when you do wear it, you don't ever snore anymore. You went through a phase of snoring a lot and I had to kick you.
Yeah, so as a bonus, it also forces you to mouth breathe. Nose breathe.
Yeah.
Because you cannot breathe through your mouth for that thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just so used to wearing it at night now, I don't like not wearing it. So, and it also, if you grind your teeth, it protects your teeth.
Yeah.
It's like a triple whammy.
I'm a grinder. Big, apparently. I don't think I do, but every time I go to the dentist, they're like, you grind your teeth a lot. And I'm like, really? Do I?
So it stops you snoring, stops you grinding your teeth, and makes you force you to nose breathe.
Win. There you go.
Take mouth taping or a mouthpiece, and what else? Not drinking too late.
Not too much water before bed.
Blacked out bedroom,
no lights. Cool room. Weighted blanket, if possible.
Eye mask.
Brain dumping.
Breath work. Before you go to bed.
I think that's everything. your nighttime routine will take you about 2 hours, but you'll have a lovely sleep.
It sounds like a lot of stuff, or once it's not actually when you actually do it.
No, and just think, like, any habit takes a while to build. So start with just one thing. Like, if you start with one thing and nail that and then go, right, I've nailed that one, now I'm going to add another. So that's what we've basically done, haven't we? We started by going, right, okay, let's start with blue light blocking glasses. Okay, we've got that habit done. Now let's add in making sure the room's dark. Now let's add in eye masks. Now let's add in... And we're still working on those habits. The next habit is we've got to eat dinner earlier.
Go to bed earlier, eat earlier, like we say, constantly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we haven't got it nailed, but we've got...
A lot of good bits in there.
All the other bits. If you can track it...
Get an Aura.
Even better. I mean, Aura is the best for tracking sleep, without a doubt. But they are a bit spinny.
They are a little bit spinny.
but I think well worth it.
Well, this is it, isn't it? It's like investment in health. And that looks, I mean, they look quite cool too. Yours looks really cool.
It's got the, I've got the matte black one, the new version.
It's quite cool.
Because, you know, a lot of the sleep trackers are on your wrist, like wearing a watch.
Yeah.
Like I hate wearing a watch in bed. It's really uncomfortable. I've tried. Even the Whoop, I didn't like because of that reason.
Yeah. And the Whoop didn't seem very accurate at all.
So, yeah, tracking can be super beneficial. Helpful.
And then you can see if all the little changes that you make are helping you.
Right, so we're on the about on the hour mark. So.
Boom, done. Sleep, important, do it.
There you go.
Hope that's been helpful for you all.
Yeah.
If anyone has any questions, always feel free to reach out to us on the old Soch. I'm now on TikTok too.
TikTok too.
I'm pretending I'm 20 years old again. On TikTok,
I'm not on TikTok. I don't think I will do the TikTok.
To see you on TikTok doing little dance routines or something.
Like 16-year-olds, right?
Well,
12 to 16-year-olds.
I'm trying to relive my youth on
TikTok. So reach out on social media. Yeah. I'm at Ben Law Primal.
At Sarah Law UK. We're also at Ibiza Living with the Laws.
You can comment on the podcast, I think. Can you?
I think you might be able to. I don't really know.
Leave a review.
Oh yeah, if you'd love to leave
five stars. It has to be five stars. If not five stars, don't bother.
Yeah. But we hope you found it helpful, and we really do appreciate it if you do leave a review. And yeah, we do this to help other people in some way, shape or form. We don't get paid for doing it, we just do it because we want to share the love and share the knowledge. So we hope you found it helpful. Have a wonderful rest of your day, everybody, and if there's anything you'd love us to cover on a podcast, or if there's any guests you would love us to have on, then feel free to reach out and share with us.
Yeah, we always say that. Nobody ever does, but... So, come on, people.
Share the love.
You do like a Q&A thing would be good as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I would love to do a Q&A.
Gather some questions. You've got questions.
Yeah.
Ping them over.
Ping pong. I'm losing the plot now. We're going to
go. Okay, on that note.
Bye.
Bye.